From Lubbock Community Theater, this is Five Till Places.
Thank you, Five!
Hello, everybody. Thank you for coming here for another episode of LCT's Five Till Places. I am Jed, and I am surrounded by many of the cast of our big season-closing musical, Bonnie and Clyde.
Yeehaw!
So why don't we go around the room? We'll start with my right arbitrarily and go around, and you guys can introduce yourself, say what your relationship is to this show, and then we will just start the conversation from there.
Hi, I'm Caleb Cartwright. I am one of the Clydes.
I'm Braden Jones. I am one of the Teds.
I'm Dylan Avant. I am one of the Bucks.
Hi, I'm Cameron Sperlin. I'm one of the Bonnies.
Hi, I'm Jill Johnstone. I'm directing this.
Hi, I'm Noah Aguilar. I'm the other Clyde.
Hi, I'm Rachel Biggs, and I'm one of the Blanches.
I'm Alice Bryant, and I'm the other Blanche.
So as you may have noted, you may have derived from hearing some of these introductions that the show has been double cast, which means that you will have to come see the show twice.
Absolutely.
Yeah, pretty much.
Because it will be a Quite different show between the two casts. Mm-hmm. And we're doing an alternating, right? We're not doing one cast one weekend and one the other.
Correct.
We're doing like this night is this cast, and then this night is the next cast, and just back and forth.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Sweet. So that's, you can see it. Both casts in the same weekend or split it between two weekends. However you do it, just make sure you see both casts.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So... gosh, guys, what's this show about?
Oh, wow.
So, I don't know if you've heard of them before, but it's about these two people named Bonnie and Clyde.
Whoa. Oh! And it's their names!
They did, like, the crime thing,
so
you know?
Much more crime.
I thought it was a food.
It is. Well, it's a romantic comedy.
I thought it was, like, Bonnie.
Right?
And,
it's definitely...
Sure what I would call
Clyde was the last name.
It's definitely a rom-com. Super lighthearted.
Oh, no!
Bring the kids to watch it.
That's lying.
There's definitely, no cussing. There's no violence.
There's no violence.
About a young deputy named Ted.
There's nobody.
That is actually true.
And how he handles the whole situation.
Poorly.
Poorly. Terribly.
I don't think there's anybody that handles any situation well in this show.
We were actually explaining Bonnie and Clyde to my kids recently, and we were talking about it was just a real mess. They were not great people, and the people chasing them were also not great people, and everyone was just... It was a real bad time for the country that drove people to bad ideas, and everyone was awful to each other, and it ended real bad.
That's it. There you go.
Yeah.
That's a great way to describe it.
Yeah. Yeah. Those are really good.
But there's beautiful singing.
That is how I'm going to advertise it on Facebook. It's like, and it's a lot more
fun than
it
sounds.
But yes.
Just a little
terrible, but it's a really good show.
Just prepare to cry.
The music's fantastic.
So let's talk about that. The actual historical story of Bonnie and Clyde is messy and violent and
for 21 months
and rough, but
Bonnie and Clyde terrorized the whole area, and they were yielded as heroes, Robin Hood, you know, they're stealing from the rich and given to the poor, which really isn't true.
Given to themselves.
Yeah. Well, they were poor.
They were poor.
There's so much more than that. I am not going to bore anybody listening to this with that. I can go on. I have 34 pages of stuff that I put together. It is absolutely insane. There's so many theories that they kind of like put that money back throughout Dallas with Cumie Barrow's help, Clyde's mom. She actually kind of like got people to be quiet and not testify against them by paying them off.
Nice.
Everyone was starving to death at the time, so they would, you know, take money.
It's an example of how extreme poverty often leads to crime problems.
Yeah.
About
that. Ayo.
Yeah. Which is a subject that is still relevant today.
No way.
There's still poor people?
Yeah. What?
Let's
do something about
it. That's
crazy.
So, and then we've, this show has been, this story has been turned into a raucous, joyous musical.
Yes.
Maybe not joyous.
Well, at some point.
There's moments.
There's
that way.
Yeah.
It might not.
Joy,
it kind of bookended
and romance
with
and
sorrow,
love and adventure.
Yeah.
And then death.
Some murder.
And death.
Some
and
love.
Some murder. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of death.
There's a lot of death.
There is a lot of death.
But it's artful death. And that makes it okay.
Yes. Well, and it's historically accurate death.
Also true.
Yeah. And even though it is about a couple who you know, killed some people and whatnot. Their love story is still truly beautiful. It's tragically beautiful, but it is beautiful.
And is that something, does the show explore that theme at all? You talked about, a little earlier about how Bonnie and Clyde were kind of lionized by the people during the time. Is that kind of touched on in the show, the way that criminal activity or these activities can be, whether it's accurate or not, be shaped a certain way by public perception, and that becomes the legend that is Bonnie and Clyde even today? That
from the opening of the show till the closing, it is, it talks about public perception and how people, you know, perceive this duo, how they perceived other criminals. It is all about that and the media and what the media sees and says. Y'all talk.
Well, I was thinking about that too. Like, there's specific lines too. I mean, you have of course the line about like Buck or Clyde always wanting to be Al Capone, and Buck saying they think he's famous. Clyde's famous. Like, I mean, it's like the people are rooting for him, kind of stuff. So it's very interesting to see like how the people, because I mean, I guess the media was different back then too. So like, it was just word of mouth, and so people were like, oh my god. Yeah. They're robbing these banks and stuff.
Well, they're so cool.
They're so cool.
I like them.
Yeah. Someone asks for Bonnie's autograph as she's robbing them.
Yeah. Right.
Like, you have a gun put on me, but can you sign this before you kill me, please?
I mean, it's also the whole fact that, like, the whole thing, like, the bank has no money, right? So, like, everybody's angry, and everybody kind of wants to do probably what Bonnie and Clyde are doing, where they're stealing, and they're, like, actually getting to, like, live a little bit and, like, make money, because no one had money, because it was, you know, the Great Depression and lots of sadness, and the world is reeling from all these bad things. And,
the line in Made in America, they stole, wouldn't you?
Yeah, literally. Yeah, yeah. I think everybody would want to, and then Bonnie and Clyde are the ones that do.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, and we're also kind of thinking recently about how the mafia, as we think of it today, kind of got its start in this era as well, during the Depression and Prohibition. And we have the story where, you know, Bonnie and Clyde themselves became these mythical figures, but the mafia as a whole became something that was like
larger than life.
Almost mythical and lionized in its own way. Even we have, how many mob movies have we had in the last 80 years? Like
fanfics.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Even ones that supposedly, like you think of a movie like Goodfellas, where what we do is watch his world fall apart when he becomes joins the mafia. But what we really remember is Ray Liotta at the beginning of all my life, I wanted to be a gangster. And it's like, and I feel like all that kind of starts here. That whole perception of...
Clyde's whole journey is, you know, having this, like, young, naive, like, idealism, where the ideals are horrible and toxic, and he wants to go rob people and be famous for it, but then over the course of the show, as he starts to, you know, come to the reality of that and see what it really means and see what it's really like, you see as, you know, it's not as pretty as it was in dreams.
And, like, with him, like, idolizing Al Capone, something that, like, it's always been, like, interesting to me is that with Clyde, he thought he could just become, like, an Al Capone figure where he's invincible and just by robbing banks. But the thing is, Al Capone was able to avoid, like, getting into run-ins with the law and all that because he was paying other people to, you know, do hits for him and stuff like that.
Right.
He just completely overlooks that. He's like, hey!
He sees the...
The glory. The
front, yeah.
Yeah,
like
yes,
the facade.
Yeah,
the facade, thank you.
He's like, oh, it's this easy?
Yeah.
And then boom. Yeah.
And then he ends up dead in front of his truck.
Yep. Getting a bullet ripped out of him by his girl.
With the, like, I mean, he's, you know, murdered next to the love of his life, who he dragged down to hell with him.
Yeah. And his brother.
And his brother.
And 10 brothers.
Yeah.
Not to spoil the show.
No, yeah. Sorry. Spoiler.
Not to spoil the real life history.
Sorry, it happened a while ago. Spoilers.
Yes. I don't know if we have to call spoilers on real historical
events. About 100 years ago.
Speaking of that, how does it feel for all of you to be playing people that really existed?
I like it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's fun because you can like see actual pictures of these people.
It's very cool.
And things like that. And you can go on Wikipedia and like look at, you know, their bios and stuff like that. Yeah. And you can, and there's all of these historical like sources, like all of the notes that, all of the poetry that Bonnie wrote in banknotes that they stole from places that they robbed. And stuff like that. The fact that these resources are like available, it helps to kind of develop how we want to play the characters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's so cool too. Because usually, whenever you're doing theater, it's you get to step into this imaginary role and totally escape everything that's going on outside of the theater. Whatever's going on outside, when you step on that stage, you are creating your own character, and it's cool. It's a little change of pace to be able to actually play. This isn't an imaginary character. This is, I get to put my spin on an actual historical event that happened. And so that's been really cool for me. Is it's not as much of imaginary as it me is putting my own spin on something that's already, it's already happened.
Yeah.
It's
really, yeah. Something that, like, I don't know why, but whenever, so during, there's a scene where, of course, Buck dies, and there's this picture of where Blanche gets arrested. Mm-hmm. And every time they pick me up off of Buck's dead body and they're carrying me to the jail cells, I just have that picture in my head.
That's really great, you do.
It's like, and it's just so, like, it's so crazy to have that, like, you know, normally, like, when you're, you know, normally when you're an imaginary character or a character that maybe is, like, slightly based off of someone, you know, you have to, like, infer a lot of things, infer a lot of, like, third eye images and whatnot, but, like, that's there. Like, it's immediately there. Like, you don't have to, it's real history.
Yeah, and this might be a little philosophical, but something about, there's something really cool about getting to kind of play this, like, specifically Blanche. I don't know, something cool about getting to kind of take a feminist lens to it all as well, because, like, I mean, any acting I do through a feminist lens. That's kind of an irrevocable part of me, and so it's kind of cool to get to play the role, because the play is written where Blanche is, like, screaming a lot, and she's very, like, oh, no, oh, my God, what's up, oh, my God, good, you know, and just very, like, not overly effeminate, but kind of living in that world, and so it's kind of cool to, like, ground her.
Stereotype?
Yeah, kind of the hysterical stereotype, I think. Yeah. It's kind of what they play into in this play, because, I might have some issues with the writing of the book, but that's okay. I think it's really cool to kind of get to.
No.
I know, and I mean, I don't know how real. I don't know the person that the historical was based on, but it's kind of cool to get to kind of give that, like, I don't know, humanization to a character that was from so long ago, and specifically in this play, like, just kind of get to give her the fleshed outness that she deserves, especially because, you know, I mean, again, in the history, she's known for, like, she never fired a gun, but she knew how to load them, you know? And so, like, just kind of get to give her the, like, the intelligence that she deserves.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, really, she was a rebellious person. She wore pants as a female.
Yeah.
Which was a huge deal.
No. That is a big deal.
Yeah, so I get to give her that, like,
for a reason.
Give her that power, you know, the power that she deserves, I think is a really cool opportunity for, like, a real life character.
That's very cool.
Yeah, that's really neat.
And it's really cool, too, because the show is double cast with all of the principal characters. You get to see different takes on the roles. So there's, like, an objective who they were as people, but also, like, we take the material and we see it so differently, and I think that's really interesting.
It is really cool.
Do you find yourself taking inspiration from the other people playing the same role as you, or do you specifically try not to do that, to be like, I don't want to do your interpretation, you're doing that?
Honestly, I
hope it never seems rude, Caleb, but I try to leave whenever you're performing. What my partner or what my double cast is doing most of the time, just because, like, I don't want to be stealing your bits. I don't want your intonation to be creeping into mine.
That's, like, funny, because I try not to
take anything from what Noah does. Mm-hmm. Frankly, we're playing the characters so differently.
It's,
so, yeah, it's so different.
You two do something similar, though, and it's the mocking the mom with the honey thing. You both use this like mom voice. That's the only thing that I'm like. Oh, there's a similarity right there. Yeah. The rest of it's completely different.
Yeah. So
how does a man speak in his mother's voice?
Oh, laughing. Exactly.
And well, my only like real prior theater experience was like playing Frankenfurter in Rocky Horror.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Which is a wildly different part.
Yeah. So it's kind of I love that role to death. I love playing that role, and so I'm so used to doing that now that I'm doing this. It's sometimes I can feel myself going into the Frankenfurter on accident, but sometimes I can channel it in a different way where like I can be flamboyant and still be Clyde Barrow.
Yeah. There's still room for a certain kind of flamboyance. It's
different. But it's still there.
Yeah,
it has been cool though. On the other side of that, like I totally agree with, I don't want to take what they're doing, but it has been really cool to bounce ideas off of the other,
characters,
and say, "Hey, what do you think? Yeah. What do you think of this line? Like, how do you think this should be delivered? Should it be more through your teeth? Should it be yelling? Should you do this?" And that's been cool to not necessarily take what each other is doing and copying it, but like Aaron said, putting your own spin on it, but bouncing ideas off of each other for certain things.
I love that you and Gavin do that. Yeah. It's just so everyone on the podcast knows. Mm. The Teds are in love.
They are.
it's honestly a tragedy that Gavin isn't here.
It is so sad because Gavin and Brayden just are just the most beautiful thing I've ever seen in my life.
The pictures that have come through our Facebook group.
Just stunning. It had to be put out there. I just needed it. I needed the world to know that the Teds are in love. Like, so I think that that's so cool that y'all bounce ideas off of each other.
Yeah.
Because like, I don't think Alice and I have ever sat down and been like, I think Blanche thinks this.
Yeah.
But, like, I love watching, like, because, like, for me, with the double cast, it's a balancing act where I'm, like, I'm somebody that, like, my ear picks up things about how people say things and how people, and I'm like, oh, that's really fun. That's crazy that they say. And then, like, later my brain will do it. And I'm like, oh, I wasn't trying to, like,
copy. I've
noticed
that.
I very much have that imitation brain.
Yeah.
But I love getting to watch the differences because, like, I feel like my Blanche is so, like, sometimes I'm like, damn, my Blanche is so mean. And then Alice comes at it with this light sense of humor, with this, like, this freeness to it. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I love getting to watch it. And so it's really cool getting to see the differences and getting to, like, getting to observe that while also getting to do your own thing and have your own power and your own characterizations and stuff.
Yeah, and I just love the celebration aspect of it all because it's so fun to get to watch the show that you're in because that never happens. Mm-hmm. I was thinking about the fact that like I think I'm gonna plan to be in the audience and watch the show that I'm in, and I've never had the opportunity to do that before, which is so cool.
Yeah,
and I just love getting to like celebrate the work that's being done. Because like Rachel's fucking killing it, dude. Like she's so good, and like that's just across the board, you know. Like it's so fun to get to watch and just like celebrate. And I know that the comparison like creeps in sometimes. You're like, oh, that was really good. I don't know if I could do it.
Yeah.
Like, oh shit, man, that was really impressive. I hope I'm as good as that person. Oh God. You know?
Yeah, we're all humans. Like there's so many times like, you know, like I'm like, oh,
that was really impressive. Yeah, oh,
that was
man.
So good. But then like, you know, you have to remind yourself as a theater professional, it's like, okay, I am valid in my own.
Of course.
Like, in my own thing. Like, and I definitely do that. I do that with everybody. Yeah. I do that with literally parts I don't even play. Like, like Noah will hit a note.
And I'm like, oh, I can do
like,
that.
Right?
You can't hit the notes that I can hit.
Hey, are you sure?
That's too bad.
But it's really cool.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
And these are some of the most talented humans I've ever gotten to work with. It has blown my mind. Every time I see them on stage, I'm just blown away at every turn with everything they do.
And Jill cast it really good. Jill's really good at her job. Madam director.
Yeah, this is, we should also mention, this is Jill's directorial debut with LCB.
My first main stage. I've done a ton of children's theater. I've done the Rocky Horror thing 2 years in a row. I have directing experience, but this is the first time y'all have been crazy enough to let me direct anything on the main stage, and it's been a blast.
Mm-hmm. I feel like, because when we were doing the play selection process last year, you were the one who was championing doing the show in the first place.
Yes, I did.
And I almost, I almost feel like, even back then, we were thinking, Jill's going to direct this, right? It was like...
When we finally decided to do Bonnie and Clyde, after I remember Heather May said, no one has defended any show as much as Jill has defended doing Bonnie and Clyde. And for every reason, someone was like, well, what about this? I had an answer for it.
Yeah.
You know, I leaned into the fact that they are local legends.
Mm.
You know, and coincidentally, our ticket sales are going very well, which is kind of proving my point.
Which is like, it means you people out there listening, get your tickets.
You really want to buy your tickets soon.
Like, LubbockCommunityTheater.org. It's right there on the front page.
But I was like, I went home after we decided, and I told my husband, I was like, I'm going to apply to direct this. Is it rude if I threaten to kneecap people who want to try and direct the show?
Yeah.
And he was just like,
that's the Bonnie and Clyde director I've ever
seen. Right. It's on brand.
Hand in hand.
That's the show,
yeah.
Would it be wrong for me to threaten physical violence?
No.
Like,
the answer is
an
no.
Actual time.
Yeah, he was like, that is the most violent and chaotic thing I've ever heard come out of your mouth. Maybe you shouldn't say that.
Nah. So.
Is it, though? I feel like I've heard more violent and chaotic things come out of your mouth.
I was about to say that.
The bar is too low, Jill.
Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. This show means more than I can express to me. Like, it's such a beautiful show, and
so all you don't fuck this up for her.
Okay. Oh.
No, that's real though.
That's real. They literally could not, even if they tried.
Yeah.
Couldn't fuck this up. They are all just fantastic. I sit here and I watch, and like, it's hard to be in a room with this many talented people. I've talked about fighting imposter syndrome. I think that needs to be something that's spoken about on the regular.
Yeah.
Like, I got my papers. I have my degree in theater.
Any person in any art whatsoever that
right.
doesn't yep. struggle
no.
with that.
You'd be surprised, though. You will find that one person that is like, I have never done this before, but I'm the best at it.
God,
like,
I wish.
And I'm just like, I would like to have an ounce of what you have.
I feel like if I run into that part kind of person, I usually hate them.
Yeah. But it has been...
They're
like,
usually assholes.
So. Right.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It's just been so crazy, though, being around this talented group of people. It is absolutely inspiring.
Yeah.
And it just makes me want to do more theater, which has been a really happy place for me lately.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So what are the challenges that come with rehearsing a show, particularly a big thing like
mm-hmm.
this that has two casts?
Mm-hmm.
How does that, because that's going to be a very different rehearsal process than just bringing a cast in and rehearsing a show.
Well, one of them went to Italy for a little while.
And
yeah,
that
was an issue.
That was really annoying. And my Bonnie went to Italy, and I didn't get to work with her for 2 weeks. That's right.
Yes,
that's
yes, we have a late arrival to the show.
Miss Lauren Reynolds.
Yay! Who is our other Bonnie.
Hell
yes.
This is Lauren Reynolds.
Nice.
Yes. So, can you ask that question again?
I was asking... What are the challenges with rehearsing a show that has two casts? It's got to be such a different experience than the normal process where you just come in and rehearse the whole time. It's,
yeah.
You've got two whole groups of people that have to learn all of this show.
Yeah. That, I mean, there was like 1 week where we were trying to run an act. Oh, hi Siri. and we would flop scenes where like it'd be one cast in one scene, one cast in the next scene. Well, because like for example, like okay, scene one would be like all four Buck, Clyde, Blanche, and Bonnie. Okay, that's great. But then the next scene would be like just Buck and Clyde. And so that would throw things off because they would switch. But then like the next scene that like Blanche would be in. We'd be off on Bucks and Clydes and Bonnies, and everything gets so confusing because it's just like
who's a whole bunch of people.
Where's my Buck? Where's your Bonnie?
Do this scene if it's gonna be your Buck?
we'd be like, oh man. And so that would get a little confusing, but we were like, we need to be like working these, but so it was definitely a learning process and just getting through it, and so you know, it takes lots of patience, but
Yeah. I will say there's something, this cast is just really incredibly kind. There's a lot of really kind people. And so there was never like, it could be stressful, but it was never like, there's no tension. It was just like, oh man, it's okay, it's your turn. You know, and it was very like easy flip-flop kind of thing. We have a running joke that whenever it's not your actual partner, it's your blank on retainer. So whenever I didn't have Dylan, it'd be Clayton, and we'd be like, okay, Clayton, my husband on retainer. Yeah. Is here, you know? And so it'd be like we just like swap, and you know, you get your other non-husband or non-wife or whatever.
Yeah.
And you get to, and it's interesting because, my non-wife, you know, and so we just kind of, but all that to say, it was full of like kind of a very jovial attitude, which was really, really beneficial because I think it could have been stressful, but it never was, which I really appreciated.
Yeah. And not only is it a different process for people on stage, but I know it can be easy for Jill and Summer and Josh, and they've done an incredible job of maneuvering through that and giving us the opportunities to do that. But I know that can't be easy on their end because they're like, oh man, I don't even know what today's rehearsal is going to entail because I don't know who's going to be here, who's going to be late, who's going to be gone completely.
That is not my problem. That is Summer's
problem. Queen Summer. They've done an incredible job of maneuvering through all of it and just very much go with the flow. And if someone's not here, then hey, like the other day, Cameron did the whole act twice.
Woo!
And that was
a queen. I didn't do that a lot of times.
For our Italian Bonnie.
Yeah, Cameron got a little more rehearsal than the rest of us.
Don't worry, we all thought about you sitting over in Italy eating noodles.
Listen, drinking I was on wine. Many trains reading this script, talking to myself like a crazy person. So the Italians think I'm weird. So it's
no, they're probably just like, look at that American.
American.
They're not
Americans.
Yeah.
Americans.
I get it.
I will say, you can't tell that you were gone for 2 days.
Lauren's killing it.
Yeah.
Absolutely incredible.
Always.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, and then, Lauren, you also had a behind the scenes involvement with the show as well.
Man, it's been a great time.
So you get to play a lead character and
I did the set design for this in collaboration with Logana, and who is building our set and is absolutely amazing, and we actually just put like 90% of the pieces into play tonight. And is drilling out there right now, if you can hear that in the background. It was super cool because it's a brand new process, first time I've ever done it. And I've had probably 6 shows experience, like, building, and I was like, I want to get my hands on designing. It is much harder than I thought it would be. Because you got to, like, dive into the script, you got to know every part, you got to know where every person's moving, who needs what needs where, and what concept the director wants to go with.
Yeah.
And Jill is so kind and gracious in this, like, free-flowing, everything is great and kind, but Jill, I need an answer, which is great. And she did. She gave me many answers and was like, I want this. And the most important part is Bonnie's poetry.
Yep.
Like, yeah.
Bonnie creates the atmosphere and, like, the relief with the words she speaks and all of this stuff. So really integrating that main idea into the set and where we can put it and possibly projections or painting on the set, things like that, has been really exciting to kind of, one, work with new mediums, and two, to really just, I've been on both sides, but I've never been on both sides at the same time.
Right.
Other than Cinderella, where I was on the costuming side of things, but this is
so
been
just
really
like
cool.
2 out of the 3 shows that you've done.
Hey, we kicked her out.
Yeah, you never
we were like, you're at a point with Cinderella, you cannot come in here. Go away. You need to focus.
Anyway.
There you go.
But it's been super cool to build and just be in here and do all the things. So, I'm very grateful for the people around me.
We
love you.
We're grateful for you.
Seriously. Sweet. We should also talk about whose first lead is this?
It's mine.
Yay! Yay! You're doing so good.
Thanks.
You really are.
Right. I appreciate that.
Cameron took this being her first lead to a really cool extreme. She has been in my house every Wednesday working on the show, working on motivations, working on characterization, working on lines. And then Caleb found out we were doing that, and he jumped in. So they see me almost every day.
Yeah.
When this show's over, they better continue to see me almost every day. I'm going to be big mad.
Caleb's got a pool.
Caleb said bye. Caleb's
going to say, yeah, that's it.
I sit in the backyard all
Cameron's
day.
Cameron's
going to
sleep in the house.
Summertime is coming, so it's,
Yeah, for a minimal fee, you all can come.
I'm going to say a lot of us are going to be congregating on your house, whether we're in the show or not.
For the listeners. For the listeners. Oh, okay. You all can come.
No, you have to pay.
If you buy,
I need to threaten her with a gun.
Yeah, just a tow.
I'm just going to call dibs because I'm going to be working with you on your next project after this show.
Yes, you are.
So I'm going to. Yes, you are. I already called dibs on that. So
my next weird project.
Yeah.
We're doing Repo, a genetic opera Shadowcast in July.
Really?
Yeah.
Man, that's so cool.
Yeah. I'm actually going to do something I never do, and I'm inserting myself in this one.
Hell yeah.
I'm going to play Roddy Largo.
Yeah, you
I'm
are. Crazy. Yeah, you are.
If anyone, whoever, like, it's, Paul Sorvino originated the role, okay? Yeah. So he has, like, this gross old man ponytail, and he's, like, this kingpin of like surgery, and so I'm gonna do that.
Hell yeah.
As part of the shadow cast because I've lost my mind.
That's a movie I think everybody needs to see. Absolutely. Once, just because there's nowhere else that you're gonna see Paul Sorvino, Paris Hilton,
Sarah Brightman,
Giles from Buffy, and Ogre from Skinny Puppy, all in the same movie.
With, with the girl that plays Shiloh. Exactly. Who's from Spy Kids.
Yeah.
Alex Vega.
You found it.
From Spy Kids. It's the craziest combination of people ever.
Yeah. So yeah, we'll get into that later. But yeah, Bonnie and Clyde. Bonnie and Clyde has to happen before Repo happens.
Man, does it.
Yeah.
this is the other thing, too. This is not only my first main stage, it is our music director's first main stage.
Oh my gosh, there's a lot of
Lawrence Hubbard.
Right?
My husband.
Hubbard. Yeah.
He is living his best life.
He really is.
He loves to wave a stick in people's face. And that be is... like, you sing this here.
Wave what?
Not like that. A stick. Get your mind out the gut.
A stick, it's not his. There.
Oh my god.
And we've officially yelled at ourselves.
Josh is having a great
I still have
y'all edit.
Y'all edit.
Josh will appreciate us all talking about the
movie. Yeah, he will.
It's been crazy, and he's been working a lot behind the scenes putting musicians together, and then with all the fundraising we've been doing for the band, making sure that those people get paid and like what they're worth and not be actual musicians that contribute to this production as much as everyone else has. And then making sure that, like, one, we're all on beat.
Oh my lord.
I don't know what I would do without him.
Dear God. If he has said it once, he's said it too many times. Clap on.
And I think we'll all get his little catchphrases put on a t-shirt by the
end of the show. Oh my god. Everybody.
Alrighty then. That's my favorite. Alrighty then.
And our choreographer, it is Savannah's first time.
She's so good.
Choreographing a main stage. She has gone above and beyond. On top of all of the choreography she's done, she's also been really leading the way with trying to do fundraising. To pay for the band. She volunteered her time and did headshots as a fundraiser. And I mean, just edited everything. And God, those are some gorgeous pictures. Mm-hmm. And she's been taking photos at every rehearsal. We've got some really, really cool stuff. And I hope that's like a load off of your plate too, Jed. I know you stay really busy.
Yeah, absolutely is. Yeah. Oh my God.
We've been trying really hard to just kind of make sure that, like, I mean, we need you to make the commercial. So, like, Savannah's been trying to take pictures to make life easier for you.
Yeah.
But she's done all this other stuff. And I'm just going to tell you, she's donated her pay back to the band. Plus some additional money. So, she is so ridiculously kind and so sweet. I wish I could do that, but I can't. But she's done a lot to make sure that this show happens. And I think that the creative team in general, we just really wanted to make sure that we got everything done fast so everyone had some time to play. And we also wanted to make sure that there was no one's time was really wasted, because a lot of times in theater we sit and wait a lot. And so we've been trying really hard to make sure that everyone gets to use their time as effectively as possible. So we even had to cancel rehearsals for a week because we had a mass COVID outbreak.
Yeah. Which was fortunately fairly early in the process.
Yeah, but we were 3.5 weeks ahead at that point.
Yeah.
So we barely flinched. I mean, right now we're running where tech weeks would start, and we still have a week until tech week.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Yeah.
So bravo to all of you for working
hard. Yay for being ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Go team.
Ahead.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, Rupert's
visual
here
joke.
Yeah. It's a skull.
Yeah.
He's part of our cast. He's very important.
Yes.
Rupert the skull.
He's Rupert here at every rehearsal.
Yes. He lives in my car.
It's Caleb just buckles him in.
It's been a big group of people who love theater and love this show and have loved this show for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And who have just been diving in head first, and they want the community to know and see the show and appreciate it for what we do. So it's been a lot of hard work behind the scenes to make sure that everyone out there knows, one, the story,
mm-hmm.
and two, convey our love for these characters, as bad as they may be, to everyone, and then just enjoy the bit of theater that we get to do together.
Yeah, not gonna lie, though, I didn't listen to the soundtrack until a day before callback.
Nice.
So
that's safe. That's
crazy. There. I knew the show.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I've
been
the show since it came out.
I knew Diane.
Yeah, I've been listening to this one for
I was
years.
A freshman in high school being like, Diane,
yes, fuck, you're going back to jail.
Because I always wanted to play Blanche.
Hell yeah. It was really funny. Even when I talked to Lo and I was like, how will you build this for me? He told me, he was like, you exposed me to Bonnie and Clyde. Yeah. So absolutely I'm going to build this because I love the show because you showed it to me.
Mm-hmm.
Which, cheesy bit. It's just really funny. I love that you didn't even listen to it until...
I mean, you're
that's great.
Right,
we're talking about you.
How about me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Welcome to the show.
Yeah.
Whoa. We're doing the podcast. I'm bragging. And away he runs.
Wait, what were you saying?
It just cracks me up that, like, you didn't even listen to it until callbacks.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm not big into, like, the whole musical theater realm, so...
Speaking that blasphemy, you just got so many dirty
I'm
looks.
Sorry, but, like,
it was the whole musical theater part
realm.
That really...
I know, I come from, like, an opera, like...
Yeah.
Background, so
what?
I'm not
gross. Getting real. It's like I'm not really
opera
into musical theater.
Yeah,
I come from opera.
I never knew that.
You
no.
bunch of losers.
But I've just never like delved into like any like musical soundtracks or anything like
yeah.
that. Really,
yeah. but it makes your take on this show and this experience different, though, doesn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, like it's fun. It's fun for me. Like I guess getting to do different things in terms of like vocal technique and stuff like
yeah.
that. So.
Well, you all sound phenomenal.
Thank you.
Oh my god, I sit here and I listen to you all sing and I'm just like, holy shit, this is really happening. These people are so fantastic.
And the ensemble too, like the amount of
oh
talent
my god,
that's
yes.
just like in the room at one time is unreal.
Yeah, well, you know, you all showed up, so. Casting the show was easy and hard at the same time. It was one of the hardest processes I've ever gone through, just because so many people came in singing. I think I counted, we had 14 people put on their sheet they wanted to be Bonnie.
Damn.
Yeah. That's not surprising.
That
yeah.
is, it
well,
was
think,
nuts.
I think that's another thing we said was going to happen when we were doing play selection is like, this is going to be one of those shows that
bloodbath.
30 women are going to
yeah.
want to be Bonnie.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
they're going to be, you know.
But it was really funny too, like going into callbacks, I was like, I know exactly who my Blanches are. Now let's check. Now let's check for compatibility.
No, I know, it was funny. Only Rachel and I read at callbacks. We were like,
yeah.
hey.
I was like, oh. I was like,
gotcha.
Oh, right.
Got it.
Meanwhile,
yeah.
you forgot to give me like 3 different sides during the callbacks. Like I was left like, like so
let
many
me,
times.
Let me tell you. Okay, so let me tell you what happened. So I, like in a fever dream, wrote down after auditions, like, this is my, you know, I'm half awake, I'm gonna write this down. So I wrote down the cast, right? And I closed it on my iPad. And I was like, I'm not gonna look at this. And so I had callbacks, and I was like, I knew my Teds. I knew my Blanches, right? I was like, I am dead set on one Bonnie. I'm pretty sure about the other one, but I'm not completely sure. And then I was like dead set on a Clyde, and that was it. And I was just like open mind, and I went back and looked at that paper, and in my fever dream, I was dead on accurate, all the way down the list.
Nice.
All the way down the list. No, you all busted your butts and really earned these parts with your talent. So I was I'm completely blown away. Anytime any of you open your mouths to sing, Rachel and I were like bawling the other night when Lauren sang "Dying Ain't So Bad." Oh my gosh. Rachel was like on the sofa like, the whole time.
I was supposed to be frozen and I just was like,
like gripping the sofa.
Nothing is going through my head when I sing that song. Nothing. No thoughts. I look at the light and go, oh.
Okay. That does not show at all.
Good,
it is.
God, like it sounds like.
Oh, and you're. No, it.
What's happening? Is that a bug?
Your eyes do this like. Oh God, it's.
It's gonna be fun.
You gotta come see it to understand.
Yeah. You really do. No spoilers. Yeah. You really do. And
again,
I will
you
say,
gotta see both casts.
Yes. Yes.
Cameron's really good too.
Yes. Oh my God.
And it's our first lead.
Yes. I'm telling you, both of these casts are fantastic. The couple's chemistries are really good, including the Teds. Including the Teds.
The Teds
chemistry is just
beautiful. Teds chemistry.
Cross cast chemistry.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah.
But
welcome to our TED talk. Yep.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, you're fine. You're excused.
Oh, yeah, but we can edit. What am I even doing?
Yeah. I know.
I'm not gonna.
Nope, it all stays in. But, like, Lauren and Noah's chemistry is insane. Mm-hmm. And then, like, yours and Clayton's. And just, like, and oh, my God, when Alice and Dylan met at callbacks, I was like, oh, yep, they're kiki and they're having a good time. Perfect.
No, literally, we just went through, like, a list of stupid, like, references, like, Star Trek, Star Wars, Avatar, Transformers.
Yeah, every reference you could think of.
Yeah.
We were just making jokes. And then we were like, what's your name, by the
oh,
way?
Yeah.
You're sweet.
So, it was absolutely insane. Just, cool. And then, like, Cameron and Caleb, like, they sang one time. They were rehearsing, the reprise of Dying Ain't So Bad, like, everyone in the room, as soon as they finished, we were all like, make out! Because we're children. No, it was just, they all have such great, beautiful chemistry on stage. It's really, really fascinating to watch.
And it's cool the interpretations of, like, each cast. Mm-hmm. Like, just our personalities and how they take on these characters. And it's, like, a completely different show with each cast. Uh-huh. And it's an amazing change, but also, like, it's real. Like, this is real. Both versions are real. Both versions are accurate.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Everyone is doing their best to create these characters as honest as they would.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So
it's cool to watch. Oh my gosh. So yeah, you have to come see both casts. Plain and simple. It's again two completely different shows.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
I just want to say, like, dude, Cameron, like, throughout this whole process has evolved so much. It's crazy, dude. And like, I, you know, I've had, like, the privilege of, you know, being there throughout all of it, and it's just wild to watch. Like, the other night, we were doing Too Late to Turn Back Now, and she, like, pulls out this insane run, and I was like, where did that come from? And she was like, oh, I just did it in my garage the other night. I was like, what?
I just wanted to see if it worked, and it does.
Yeah. Just like, it's been, like, insane for me to watch all of it.
It's
happen.
Also been hilarious working with, like, the different groups, because, like, the two of you, Caleb and Cameron, you're all like, oh, let's see how this feels, right? And then, like, Lauren and Noah sneak around the corner and talk out every second of their scene and plan it out all the way. And then
and you come back to Cameron and she's just like wobbling on the floor.
Caleb's like, hey, Caleb, seeing if he can hit the ceiling with his head. Yeah,
literally. Those two are the most ADHD people I've ever dealt with. And so, yeah, like, we even have footage of, like, Noah and Lauren singing all beautifully and Cameron's dancing Toddlers and Tiara style.
Brilliant.
Like, Caleb's jumping up and down trying to hit his head on the ceiling.
Every time.
It just cracks me up. And then, like just watching, like, the differences with both of you as well, it just blows my mind. Mm-hmm. Just, and the artistic, like, processes of everyone. It's really crazy. I was talking about how, like, Caleb and Cameron are like, ooh, how does this feel? And you and Lauren are like, okay, so then we're going to do this. And then we're going to do this. And you have
and will
everything.
That work? Well, no, that doesn't work because of blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, like, Lauren came back and they were like, okay, we're going to go run lines. And I was like, no, you're not. You're going to go plot every movie we make for the whole show.
Yeah, that's what we were planning.
And we're at. Listen, my brain It's a creature. We just have it's a creature. We have to evaluate every moment, and then we'll get it right. We'll have a great time in the process.
Our approaches to the...
Me either, Siri.
Our approaches to how we prepare for the scenes, it can be seen in the way that we act out the scenes sometimes, too, because, I see this, cold and calculated, aura from the both of you when I'm watching them, and I'm like, I'm scared.
I am a sexual being.
The Clydes are, no, yours is very cold and calculating. Yours are chaos goblins. But no, Caleb's Clyde is an opportunistic shit.
Yeah. He grins.
It's so true. And it's really interesting. And even the way the brothers interact with each other, Buck and Clyde, the way Noah and Clayton interact is completely different.
Very true.
Clayton plays Buck so goofy, and it's really hilarious. It's the way that their relationship, it's very you're domineering over him and you're the 100%. Mastermind.
Even though he's 6'5".
Right, no, right. Yeah.
I'm looking up at him the whole time, but I'm hey, you're going to look up at me, okay?
And then for Caleb and Dylan, it's this bullying that's been happening, you know?
There's the bullying, mm-hmm. and then there's mega bro energy in the scenes where we're getting along.
Yeah. I gave you my lunch money, man. What more do you want?
Yeah.
Well, in the callbacks, we sang When I Drive Together, mm-hmm. and it was the first run of When I Drive for the Both of Us, I think, mm-hmm. at the callbacks.
It was the only run I did.
And at the end of our cut for that, we turned and looked at each other and just bared down on that last note. And I was dude, if I end up getting one of the lead roles, I really hope I'm paired with him.
You two, you and Clayton look like you're related, and then the two of you look like you're related. It works.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah,
the blondes versus the brunette.
Well, and or can we call it the wigged? Because Dylan and Caleb, I'm not cutting my hair, and I'm okay, great, cool. We'll just put you in a wig. Enjoy.
Back.
We did the same thing for Daniel.
Oh my god,
cut his hair either. So we had to put him in a wig.
The most watched TikTok LCT's ever had.
Yeah,
I'm surprised that and Caleb's come up to the lab hasn't shot up, because I show a lot of people that one because it's hilarious.
That one's good. Great.
Yeah. Especially if they're like, oh my god, Caleb Cartwright, I know him. I'm like, let me show you something.
Just wait.
God. Dude, it's such a jump scare, showing people the Rocky stuff.
Yeah.
Especially at work, because I work at Discount Tire. And,
Discount Tire? I didn't know you worked at Discount Tire.
It doesn't make sense, to be honest. There's just a queer in the middle of all these
guys. It's so opposite of your energy.
That's how I feel everywhere I go in this town. I get you.
This ultra feminine man just changing tires and repairing
man
flats.
PSS.
I'm gonna sing it to him.
No, I was just gonna say, if you do the Frankenfurter voice to your customers,
how would you do it?
Drive up to the tires. Yeah, that's great.
I added up to 37 PSI.
Yeah. Oh my god.
I hated that. That's so bad.
So bad.
Rotate.
Your tires.
So ridiculous.
I found a nail in your flat.
Oh my god.
I'm sorry. I turned this into a Frankenfurter thing.
I know.
My fault.
You always do. That's ingrained in your psyche.
I turned Clyde into a Frankenfurter thing.
You did.
Caleb.
That's okay, though.
It's okay.
Yeah,
it's okay.
Clyde
sometimes I hear Patrick Starr.
Yeah. Every time I've seen the show, both of the Clydes are in a corset.
I'm just annoyed that I have to do it, too.
And the 6-inch platform boots. Those can be...
I know. It just doesn't feel right. I get that it works for you.
We yossified Clyde, guys. I'm sorry.
Yossified.
Yossified Clyde.
All right. So this has obviously been a huge labor of love. Yes. From everyone involved, and apparently we've got a lot of firsts happening, so that's all the more reason to come out and support and see the work that these people have done and the art that they have created. So, Jill, why don't we talk about when this show opens, what are the dates for this show?
Yeah.
The 12th, 13th, and 14th?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then the following weekend.
Anytime anybody asks,
I'm like, the two middle weekends in May.
I can usually tell you the dates of the first weekend of any show, and then it's always like, and the weekend after. And
the one after. That would be the 19th, 20th, and 21st, because if it starts on the 12th plus 7.
Plus 7.
Yeah, exactly.
As a middle school math teacher, I'm extremely proud of you.
I can calculate sales tax and discounts, so don't mind me. I'm really good at that.
But 7 plus 12.
I was going to say. We just connected, though, with that. But yeah, we will definitely be doing every other day. So Lauren and Noah and Rachel and Clayton and you're with, yeah, I was going to say it's Gavin, right?
Yeah.
I still can't keep up with all that. That's why I let Summer do it. Because I'm like, I don't know what's happening.
Yeah.
They open. And so you guys, what's your color?
So we're green.
We're the green cast.
We used LCT colors. So we have green and purple cast.
Nice.
So green is Friday. Purple is Saturday. Green is Sunday. And then the next week, it's purple is Friday. Green is Saturday. And purple is Sunday.
And closing is purple.
Yeah. Should we add a matinee? It will be
whatever the opposite.
Well, no, it would be. Oh. It would be. So if green opens that Friday, they'll get the matinee on Saturday, and then. Gotcha. So y'all just buy the tickets so we can add a matinee.
No.
Yeah.
Because I have a dream. Well, I don't want to mess up your weekends.
A dream.
So. Yeah, I have a dream, and our dream is that we sell all of this out and have to add matinees, and everyone's all excited about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, so buy your tickets. Buy tickets for
each cast.
Yeah.
So two tickets total.
Exactly. So
I don't wanna have to use this gun, but I will blow your brains all over.
Damn.
It's like we give this spiel, and I feel like Lubbock is trying to get better ever so slowly about this, but man, your reputation, Lubbock, is to not buy tickets until the last second. And there's a lot of times where that does not work out well for you.
And this show's going to be one of those times.
Yeah, these tickets are already selling. They have been selling for the past month, so...
Yeah, you'd think we were all mouthy about people coming to see us in the show or something.
Yeah.
You know?
It's crazy.
Bananas.
It's crazy.
Yeah, so the whole point is... You get your tickets now, or you're not going to get tickets.
Yeah, there'll be links all over the Facebook page, but you can go to lubbockcommunitytheater.org, and it is right there on the front of the page. Yeah. You can click and get your tickets, lubbockcommunitytheater.org.
Yeah.
Sweet. Hey, in honor of Josh, let's all...
Cool, 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 cool,
cool,
cool, cool, cool, cool, cool, cool, cool, cool, cool, cool, cool, cool, cool, cool, cool, cool, cool, cool, cool, cool, cool, cool, cool, cool, cool, cool, cool, cool, cool, cool, cool, cool, cool, cool,
I'm surrounded by pigeon Jim Carreys.
You're welcome.
Pigeon Jim Carrey.
That's
pretty good.
I love it.
All right, so we're gonna go ahead and close off. We've been talking for a while. You have your job, Lubbock. That is to go buy tickets. So go forth and do that, and we will be here. This cast will be ready to perform for you when you get here.
Until then,
thank you everyone for listening. Thank you to this cast for joining me and being here and talking for an hour after they've already been rehearsing very hard. And this has been Five Till Places.
Thank you, Five!
Five Till Places is a production of Lubbock Community Theater. Be sure to follow us on social media for all the latest news and updates surrounding our projects and the goings-on at LCT. Our theme music is Pizza and Video Games by Bonus Points. A link to that artist and their music can be found in the show notes. Look them up, give them some support. Thanks for being with us this week, and as always, thank you for supporting live theater in the Lubbock, Texas area and beyond.